This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Duke Energy says it's not going to go ahead with plans to build a new and controversial transmission towers, many of them, in fact, in western North Carolina. The utility had proposed constructing 45 miles of transmission lines from Asheville to a substation in South Carolina. Those plans drew more than 9,000 public comments online. Many of them were from residents concerned about how the lines would affect their properties. Two environmental groups also pressured Duke Energy to rethink the proposal. Last week, Duke Energy said it's not going to build those transmission towers, but will add a second natural gas power plant to provide backup power for its facility in Asheville. Frank Taylor has been following the story for the Carolina Public Press, and he joins us now from WCQS in Asheville. Hello, Frank.
Hello.
I want to take a step back before we look at the change of heart here and talk about what led to these decisions in the first place. Duke has been undergoing a modernization plan for Western North Carolina. Tell us more about that.
Well, it's interesting they use the word modernization. There's some difference of opinion about that. But what Duke means by it is replacing its old coal fire plant located on Lake Julian, just south of, in South Asheville. The plan originally was going to involve a natural gas plant and transmission lines to help bring power to this growing region. The transmission lines would have been strung across areas south of Asheville going into South Carolina, Campobello, South Carolina, where there was going to be a substation. There was considerable outcry about several aspects of the plan from members of the public. This is an area that prides itself on the pristine appearance of its foothills and mountains. Having power lines, and we're not talking about small power lines. This would have been, you know, major transmission lines strung across, I think, about a 45-mile area or length.
All right. So describe.
Didn't go over well.
Didn't go over well. We'll talk about how it didn't go over well. Environmental groups and residents responded. Talk about the response.
Sure. The response, you know, was across the board. It wasn't just environmental groups. You had some people, even some politicians on the right, for instance, Congressman McHenry from Denver, who represents part of this area, was among those who spoke out against it. But certainly environmental groups, Mountain True being one of the leaders in that organizational effort, who rallied against what Duke had announced. Duke had a massive influx of comments in response to the plan. Initially, they had said, we're going to announce the route that we're going to take from Asheville to northern South Carolina at the beginning of October. Because of that outpouring of comments, Duke said, well, we need more time to study the comments. I think the environmental groups in particular smelled that they might have a victory on their hands after that. And indeed, Duke came back at the beginning of November when they had said, we're going to finally make this announcement. And they said, instead of announcing the route, we're just scrapping that plan. We're coming up with a completely different plan. And here it is.
And we talked about 9,000 comments online. Now, we shouldn't stress that it's not all opposition. A lot of that was questions about what impact it would have and perhaps some even support. But
that's a very important distinction. And I talked with Duke a little bit about that. But at the same time, there were other comments that were made in public sessions, and those were overwhelmingly negative. So it's fair to say there was some balance and some inquiry as well as comment. There wasn't a lot of popular support for this.
And this, again, talks about the impact of the environmental groups. Mountain True is one of the groups, and it organized at least one town hall meeting. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right. And the other thing about the comments is that 9,000 is a lot anyway. So what it tells you is people are paying attention to this one, and it certainly told the people at Duke Energy that people are paying attention. Interesting, too, that it's an environmental question in that the environment is the way your mountains look and the way things appear to people who are there. Not environmental in the sense that we're not talking about air quality or water quality. And I wonder to what extent you get a broader coalition, because this is a real economic question in some people's minds anyway, or to what extent was it an economic question in the minds of those opposed?
I think you're absolutely right. I do think that some of the environmental groups had multiple reasons that they opposed it. And it's fair to say some of them still have great reservations about what Duke's going to do. I mean, after all, natural gas is also a fossil fuel. Duke's saying these plants will be much more efficient. They'll have 60% less emission of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. But it's still a fossil fuel. And so the environmental groups remain concerned about that aspect of it. but I think they prefer it over what was originally proposed. So there's both the concern about clean air, about climate change, clean water also being an issue with a coal plant that was producing coal ash going into Lake Julian. That will no longer be a factor. All of those were part of it, but the economic factor brought more people together on it. This is an area that relies heavily on tourism, and it's an area where people have retired to buying up property because of the pristine scenery in these regions. People are thinking about their property values when they see this happen.
And that, too, points to the complexity of this as an environmental mm-hmm. question, if you call it simply an environmental question, because a lot of that concern about the impact on the tourist industry also leads to opposition to renewables in the form of wind power, right? Nobody wants to see windmills sure. on that landscape as well, which is a push against, which then presses more for other fossil fuels.
That's correct. Now, one interesting aspect of what Duke has proposed, and I think they've been vague on the details of this part of it, but one aspect would include a solar presence at this plant, at this site on Lake Julian. And so it's not exclusively fossil fuels. Duke has also talked about exploring additional opportunities with renewables as part of this plan. But Duke has made it clear in their pushback, as they said, okay, we're going to give you what you want, but be careful what you ask for. They said this will take a lot of cooperation for the community. We're going to have to see greater efficiency because we really do have to find a way to guarantee a good power supply to this growing region.
Well, why did Duke think that plan A, that is stringing those power lines, was obviously that was their initial plan and what they figured was the best plan. Why did they consider that best, and how much better is it in their mind than the second plan, which is to build a second gas-fired plant?
That's a good question. They've played a little bit close to the vest with the numbers there. What they have said is that this would be really close to the same cost for them, $1.1 billion. But I'll give you a quote from Lloyd Yates, who's Duke's executive vice president for market solutions, and he's the president for the Carolinas region for the company. He said, "We have been committed to developing a plan to maintain the region's power reliability with the least possible impact on communities, property owners, and the environment from the start of this effort, and we believe our revised plan accomplished those goals. While the previous plan was more robust and scaled for the longer term, the new plan balances concerns raised by the community and the very real need for more electricity to serve this growing region." When he says it's more robust, I take that as saying we could do this a lot more easily with that plan, but because of these concerns, we've come up with a balanced plan. It will work, but it's not going to work as easily as it would have originally.
We're talking about Duke Energy's announcement that they will drop plans to build some 45 miles of power lines across the western North Carolina and into South Carolina. We're talking about it today on The State of Things. Frank Taylor is my guest. He's managing editor of the Carolina Public Press. So what have environmental groups said about this new plan?
You know, again, they've declared victory. At the same time, they said, this is not all that we wanted. We've made considerable progress. They've applauded Duke. I think they've taken Duke somewhat at face value. It may be a little bit of a trust but verify response. So they see this as a positive step. And they see this as vindicating their strategy of rallying and giving a great volume of public comment in response to a plan that they disliked originally. A quote from Julie Mayfield, who's the co-director of Mountain True, she said, "Eliminating transmission lines and a proposed substation is a significant win for the residents of Western North Carolina and upstate South Carolina." She later said, though, that they're going to go back to the drawing board. Or she praised Duke for going back to the drawing board, but she later said that, we've done this, but we have another fight ahead. She said, "We can celebrate tomorrow. We go back to work." They're very concerned about natural gas as a contributor to climate change. And so they're not going to give an inch on this issue.
Well, and on a related issue, and I think you referenced it a minute ago, Duke Energy says it will retire the coal plant in Asheville by 2020. Remind us where that plant fits into the state's mandate on coal ash cleanup.
Right. So that's one of the reasons that they're having to do this. I mean, this plant was continuing to produce coal ash, because of the changing regulatory environment from the state, it makes sense for Duke to phase out this plant. And this would be replacing it with a more efficient plant. We think about efficiency sometimes in terms of the environmental impacts, but if it's more efficient, it probably is more cost-effective over time as well. The two smaller plants, as opposed to the one natural gas plant that Duke had proposed originally, the two smaller natural gas plants will replace this. They actually also have an option included for an even smaller natural gas plant that would be added. So we're talking two 280-megawatt plants and an optional 190-megawatt plant going there. The coal plant itself will be retired by 2020. The new plants are natural gas plants. They do have an oil backup, supposedly Duke's saying that would only be used in a drastic situation if they lose a natural gas supply. And then they would also have the utility scale solar plant at that same site on Lake Julian on the south end of Asheville.
All right. Frank Taylor is managing editor of the Carolina Public Press. Frank, thank you so much for talking with us.
No problem. Thank you.
Just ahead, we're going to take a look at the Arab Spring revolutions from the eyes of Andy Reynolds. He is a political science professor at UNC Chapel Hill who advised countries about restructuring their governments. You'll hear that on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.